From South Dakota Public Broadcasting, this is your SDPB News Podcast. I'm Julia Stelter in Sioux Falls. It is Thursday, June 11th, and here are today's stories. Some state leaders who've been monitoring the South Dakota economy say sales taxes and state reserves could normalize over the next few years. Jackson Dirks reports.
South Dakota saw sales and use tax, the state's largest income item, decline in fiscal year 25. However, it appears to have bounced back in FY 26, which wraps up at the end of the month. Through 11 months, sales and use tax is up over 6% year over year. That's a welcome sign to budget observers like Bureau of Finance Management Commissioner Jim Terwilliger. At a Council of Economic Advisors meeting, he said the return in 25 was puzzling because personal income was up. Sales tax and personal income in South Dakota have typically increased together. He says that wasn't the case in FY25.
And now we're seeing that kind of catch up with itself in fiscal year 26. We're seeing our sales tax collections improve relative to where they should be, to where our personal income is. And so we've kind of been expecting our sales tax should be improving, and now we're seeing that actually happen over the last 6 to 8 months.
Though it's hard to say the exact reasoning, Terwilliger attributes some of that lag to commodity pricing and sales tax on farm machinery declining. Another figure looked at in the state budget was investment income and interest. It was down by 25% in fiscal year 26 year over year. The fall was largely attributed to federal rate changes. Derek Johnson is an economist with BFM, and he adds that the states had higher returns lately.
It used to be 5 years ago or so, about 1% of our cash flow fund is about what was expected on average out of the cash flow fund, and we've moved up over 4% more recently.
The cash flow fund is essentially the state's checking account. Terwilliger says the state's expecting the fund's balance to go down over the next few years. That's because the state's spending what's left of federal COVID dollars this year and will begin drawing down on money that's been saved to pay for a new men's prison in cash.
So there's a good $650 million, give or take, that's invested in the cash flow fund and XYZ. And so the balance, we do expect a little kind of trend down over the next few years.
Fiscal year 27 begins July 1st for the state. I'm SDPB's Jackson Dirks.
State officials say South Dakotans can receive over $50,000 after a multi-state settlement with a COVID-19 testing company. GS Labs is a testing company that operated during the COVID-19 pandemic. According to investigators, GS Labs charged more than the market rate for their COVID-19 tests, while patients sometimes waited a week or longer for the results. Attorney General Marty Jackley says the 18-state settlement allows South Dakotans harmed by GS Labs testing practices to receive restitution. If you think you may be eligible, you can contact GS Labs at gslabstesting.com. A state board approves funding for 3 economic development projects in the state. The South Dakota Board of Economic Development approved a $7.5 million loan for Elevate Rapid City to develop a new business park in the city. That money helps purchase 128 acres of land with it. Lake County received $500,000 in grant money to reconstruct County Road 17. It will help infrastructure serving the Dakota Ethanol Facility by Wentworth. And Smithfield in Sioux Falls is approved up to around $30 million in reinvestment payment program dollars. The reinvestment payment program helps companies offset upfront costs associated with things like relocating in the state. To receive the reinvestment dollars, Smithfield must comply with an affidavit approved by the Board of Economic Development. All 9 tribes located in South Dakota are unifying in their call to return the public federal lands in the Black Hills to tribal entities. Each tribe passed a resolution calling on Congress to act. CJ Keene reports.
Treaty rights mandate the Black Hills belongs to tribes, although that treaty was broken long ago. The most important detail in the new legislative push is the focus on public federal lands. Put simply, places where people do not live. Valeria Big Eagle is the director of HASAPA initiatives for the Rapid City-based nonprofit Indian Collective. She says this is not about private homes in the Black Hills.
That's the myth. That's the misunderstanding. When they're talking about land back in the Black Hills and we're talking about the federal public lands, essentially those are the lands that no one is, you know, living on. And so it's the federal public lands so that we could protect it from extractive activities.
Regardless of outcome, advocates say the inclusion of all of South Dakota's tribes is a historic statement of tribal unity. Joseph Brings Plenty is a tribal council representative from Eagle Butte. He says tribes have government-signed and guaranteed rights.
That's something I think that needs to be remembered, that the treaties still exist. And that's the reason why we stand on this, is, for the United States to uphold their end of the bargain.
Brings Plenty says it's a chance for Native peoples to have meaningful say in the management of the Black Hills. With that, Brings Plenty says healing can happen.
That's a step forward, a positive step forward, because Black Hills aren't for sale. I mean, it's not just in a Lakota or Indian sense, but we all want clean water. We all want good air to breathe. We all want healthy grandchildren. We all want a life. I think the more and more, as is inevitable, that the cultures mesh, I think this is all important. Why lose it?
This comes on the heels of a mining effort near the Black Hills sacred site, Peshla, that was ultimately defeated in court following widespread opposition from the indigenous community. I'm SDPB's CJ Keen in Rapid City.
The South Dakota Secretary of State's office has published the official results for the 2026 primary election. State law requires a complete canvassing of election returns before they become official. A canvass is the process of essentially double-checking to make sure all votes were counted. That usually takes about a week. The official canvass results are available on the Secretary of State's website. We've also learned that there won't be any recounts in legislative races. Representative Tony Kaiser of Sioux Falls was just over 50 votes shy of the closest opponent in his Republican House primary. He initially said he was considering petitioning for a recount, but he now tells SDPB that he has decided against it. Celebrations for the country's 250th anniversary are happening across the state. America's 250th South Dakota Commission moves ahead with plans as some events are already beginning. The board has been working to organize anniversary celebrations since it was formed in 2023. South Dakota State Parks are celebrating America's 250th anniversary with the theme Adventure 250. The theme challenges South Dakotans to go to parks across the state for the chance to earn points and win prizes. Nick Harrington works for the South Dakota Game, Fish, and Parks Department. He says he is excited about how these incentives are raising attendance at parks throughout the state, especially in the Sioux Falls area.
And we have already had 475 submissions and 1,520 people participating. A lot of families are getting out in the parks, so that's kind of where that total participation number is coming from.
In addition, the South Dakota Cultural Heritage Center Museum in Pierre is preparing for its partial reopening with a ribbon-cutting ceremony on July 1st. Ben Jones is a historian and the state chair of the commission. He says the contractors are installing the final touches in the first three exhibits.
The videos are up and the pictures are going up. The frames are being installed. It's going to be a really amazing exhibit.
These are just two events out of the many taking place across South Dakota in honor of America's 250th. Others include a musical performance by Brian Akipa and the Sioux Falls Air Show later in July. You can find more details at sdpb.org/news. Monument Health is opening the doors of a new emergency department in Rapid City. It's located on East Mall Drive in the northeastern part of the city. Officials say it brings emergency care closer to communities along the Interstate 90 corridor. Monument Health says this marks the first completed phase of the organization's emergency services and medical campus. Underground, something valuable is hidden. Not oil, not mineral resources, but something more human. At dig sites across the state, archaeologists are recovering pieces of our history. And at one site near Sturgis, they're uncovering the memories of women lost to time. CJ Keene has more.
Before you ask Dr. Tony Cruz, professor of archaeology at the University of South Dakota, the answer is no.
No. It's not like it's Indiana Jones is the polar opposite of what we're doing.
Cruz and his team of students and archaeologists are digging at a site called Soap Suds Row just outside of Sturgis. For what it's worth, in the day I spent with them, we didn't run away from a single giant boulder and we failed to find the Ark of the Covenant. He says real archaeology is much more analytical, measured, and meticulous than what's shown on screen.
This is like more notes than Indiana Jones and his dad and all of his crew members took in all the movies combined is in Avery's notebook from field school so far.
Avery is one of Cruz's students, and we'll get to know her later, but he says this attention to detail is important when you're working 5 centimeters at a time. Inside each scoop of dirt could be a story.
That kind of provides a time capsule for what it was like at the time. The last two structures that were a part of Soapsuds Row were demolished in 1907. It could be one of the earlier structures that was decommissioned also. Most of our diagnostic artifacts from the excavation have dated to like the 1890s or early 1900s.
Now, over 100 years later, we look for traces of life from a forgotten cast at Soapsuds Row.
This was one of the structures where the laundresses that were a part of the row resided. Now that's our hypothesis, so it's not, we still have to review all the data at the conclusion of the project to figure out exactly what we're looking at.
Laundresses, women and possibly their children who, among other things, cleaned the uniforms of soldiers stationed at nearby Fort Meade. Just some of the uncounted women history has largely ignored or forgotten. Their historical footprint, though, has survived over a century buried in a field in Meade County, waiting for enterprising archaeologists to uncover. It is in their artifacts that we become intimately acquainted with the past.
You're standing somewhere where someone once stood a long, long time ago, and it really makes you think, because when you go to like to a museum where sometimes these artifacts show up in the future, after they've been excavated, you know, research, and you're thinking, is it a piece in a museum or is this something that belonged to someone?
That's Jay Jones, a junior student at the dig site.
People are such fascinating, you know, beings, and it's like everybody's so different, and it's just like trying to figure it out. It's almost like a puzzle, you know? It's like you have this, and where do you go? It's hard to describe just being able to like have that connection, but it's definitely an important feeling to have.
When it comes to these laundresses who worked thanklessly, keeping their memory alive and preserving that history keeps these students shifting through about 2 inches of dirt at a time. One recovered item, though the research isn't complete on it yet, could be a woman's clothing clip or bra clasp. Ryan Hemphill is a sophomore student. They say these discoveries help them see the past in color.
Every morning you put your clothes on and you have to clip and you have to button, you have to zip, you have to do whatever you need to do to put your clothes on. And sometimes I feel like when you're digging, it's kind of like, oh, this is just dirt. This is like, it's just getting through it. But then when you find something like that, that makes it feel very real. You don't consider the importance of your clothes until you're holding a clip that could be over 100 years old.
In the future, it could be the buttons on your clothing that humanize you or I to those generations down the road. Hemphill says that kind of find somehow keeps the forgotten women of Soapsuds Row alive.
You don't think this is going to be so important in 100 years. They're going to be like, oh my goodness, it's a zipper from jeans. You don't think about it until you're looking at something that's 100 years old and you're thinking, wow, somebody 100 years ago was doing what I do every single day. And I think that just kind of memorializes people.
No matter the era, it takes place via a multi-century conversation between the archaeologists and the soil. For sophomore Avery Welty, it begins with asking the dirt a question.
What's going on here? I'm very interested in how humans and the land go together. So I think one of the biggest things is really like finding out how that does work.
Often the work of an archaeologist is slow and hot at best, and a frustrating test of one's patience at worst. Hanging upside down over the edge of a hole, digging out the smallest bit of dirt only one trowel scoop at a time, finding nothing in 100-degree weather, and taking meticulous notes the entire time. Much like the gold miners of the past, though, some days you strike it rich.
We didn't even get through a full 5 centimeters in one work day. But at the end of the day, I was screening my last bucket of dirt, and I found a seed, like a charred seed from my unit. And it was like, oh, this is something that they probably would have eaten. This is something that's, it like connects back, and finding that connection from like now to then, that's something that really keeps me going through that next level of dirt.
Despite the challenges that come with the craft, there's still an aura of fun surrounding an archaeological dig, especially once the students noticed making radio meant taping the dig and not just interviews.
Forward.
Right there.
That's also one we say a lot.
That's because Professor Cruz and his students know something that many of us seem to have forgotten as we grew up. Playing in the dirt just rules.
out here, like, there are moments that can feel like an adventure.
For the young historian listening to this story, archaeology may be a path for you, where science and the humanities begin to meet. Cruz says it's a crash course in history, mathematics, geology, and surveying all in one field.
There's a lot of transferable skills. I think one reason why it can be an effective way of learning is because it's hands-on. You're doing this for real. I think archaeology can be a different way of learning about history. Like when you're finding artifacts that tell stories, that's very different than reading about those in a book.
Take Cher Burgess, a retired arc who simply can't stay out of the sandbox. She says if you like the idea of archaeology, see if the bug bites you.
It's difficult to just hang it up and walk away from it because it's mystery solving. And so you can solve mysteries in archives like genealogists do, or you can come out here and play in the dirt.
Meanwhile, the field school in this area has a bright future ahead of it, grant money dependent. This specific project was supported by the Deadwood Historic Preservation Commission and the Black Hills Area Community Foundation. Logan Lamphere is a landowner and historical enthusiast helping with the project. Much of the legwork is taking place on his land.
There's very little known about the Army laundresses. We know a lot about Fort Meade. The military was very good about keeping records, but these were employees, civilian employees. And throughout the West, very little is known. And so we've really been adding to the body of knowledge of these ladies, their families, and the people who lived and worked here.
In fact, a large swath of Lamphere's land is rich with historical artifacts, meaning this ranch has a bright future of digs ahead of it and a fascinating past behind it.
This year, we did a survey of the entire area because there's been a number of historical things here. The Old Fort firing range, there was a grenade court where the soldiers would practice tossing grenades. We haven't come across that yet. We're steering clear. We've actually had munitions experts warn us about that.
Lamphere took me and some of the team members on an excursion to the firing range, which remains standing despite over a century of weather and tourists discovering it. It is a remarkable sight, begging for more historical analysis. It's comprised of a wall for officers to hide behind to raise targets for the soldiers who would shoot from a distance to the north-northeast. It's about a 2-mile hike off the beaten path, and there's more to the wall than meets the eye.
One of our big projects was a survey of all the soldiers' graffiti that was made on this wall from, I think the earliest was maybe 1902 or so, all the way up to 1944, including some prisoners of war from Germany and Italy from World War II.
Some of the names on that wall are still prevalent in the Black Hills to this day. For many reasons, including this, Lamphere says it's crucial for landowners to take part in these archaeological processes.
When you're finding that balance, it's important to be educated, to know your local history, to be curious and share that curiosity with your community. And if that local community sees value in doing some sort of dig that can answer some really important, interesting questions, then I think it's worth it. But like I said, you don't want to just go treasure hunting.
Landowners will sometimes drag their feet when they see archaeologists have an interest in their land. That can hold back important historical finds that could be right under your feet in what looks like a random field. Artifacts carry weight, though.
We got a lot to learn about history, not to repeat past, don't we?
That's Aaron Mayer, another archaeologist on the dig. He says there's nothing to fear when the craft is being done by professionals.
Archaeologists aren't after your land, the state isn't after your land, and there's always been a misconception of since the Eminent Domain Act of the New Deal really bothered a lot of farm people, a lot of people that land got taken for fair market value. And then they think if some archaeology site is found on their land, the state can just take it, and that's not the case.
For Mayer, this isn't a souvenir hunt or a cloak and dagger attempt to enact eminent domain on the family farm.
We want to find the truth. There's little known of the laundresses. We want to learn more about them. They're not written in the history books. You know, give voices to the people that can't speak anymore.
But that truth is fragile and fluid. When a flood can wash away centuries of artifacts in a single night, entire populations can be lost to history. That means it's critical for anyone who thinks this is a path forward to step up. Back in the main dig site, Dr. Cruz is still overseeing the team. As the group prepares to break, Cruz says there's a bright future for the next generation of archaeologists.
We've had a lot of students who've done this field school at University of South Dakota and majored in anthropology go on to either pursue archaeology at the graduate level or receive a full-time position working for the private sector, the state sector, or the federal sector.
I walk back towards my car as the students break for their meal. I look back at acres of untouched land and wonder about the possibilities that live just a few inches below the surface. Many kids dream of being an explorer, but as they grow, that dream might seem unreachable. The world has not only been explored, but comprehensively mapped by satellites, and it's still too early to be a starship captain. But there are still worlds out there to discover. After thousands of years of human existence, there are still real-life prizes out there. Prizes completely untouched by millennia of history before us and the limitations of the time that we live in. It's a hard task, especially without a cartoonish X to mark the spot, but they're waiting. Waiting for just a little bit of support and an archaeologist to bring them to the surface, 5 centimeters at a time. I'm SDPB's CJ Keene at the Soap Suds Field School in Meade County.
And that is your daily news update. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, X, and YouTube at SDPB News. And be sure to visit sdpb.org/news to stay up to date on our journalism as it comes in. As always, thank you for listening.